to Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing. 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations. 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation. And 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Hello, world. Welcome back to another episode of Piercing the Veil. This is May 29th, 2016. I've been absent for a few weeks, so you'll notice that we performed a rerun. And then Corey and my best friend John, and who's also been a guest on this show before, were kind enough to stand in for me last week. Corey, I appreciate that. How are you doing today?
Everything's good, man. Everything's good. Glad you're back.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Me too. It's been an exciting past few weeks. It's definitely been fast paced. I've been over 1,500 miles across Texas, run up some expenses at over $1,200 and, you know, over 6 days on some emergency client business. And then also I had some other out of state issues as well that I was trying to handle from within Texas. So it got pretty hairy there for a second, just me by myself. But being able to level up to a level that I didn't think that I was able to before, and handle a bunch of tasks in my mind without writing them down, was something that I learned, and it was something that was a blessing in disguise. So I'm back now. We've got some exciting guests coming in the next few weeks. We've got an exciting show today. We're going to talk a little bit about modern sorcery. Plague listeners and all the other listeners around the world, that's what I promised would be the topic of our next show before I left. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, modern sorcery slash shamanism, because the two are related. They're distinct and separate, but when you get down to the nuts and bolts of the mechanisms of how they're working, the gateways to consciousness, so on and so forth, you're really talking spiritual science. And when I speak about magic, sorcery, or any type of shamanism, I'm always looking from a filter of spiritual science, because that's just where I've experienced the most of my life, the most truth, if you will. Okay, we're also going to talk a little bit about retaining your conscious power during these types of experiences. There's a lot of people that misapply the ego death phenomenon. That's something we'll need to clear up. And also a little bit about utilizing some higher energies once you are out of that type of state. What I mean by that is any type of sorcery state or shamanistic state, whereby you've surpassed normal levels of meditation and now you're into a different consciousness, different perception, different worldview. And Corey, these are tiny things or deep things. So you could be off on a trip somewhere in the universe, or you could literally be present in your body watching a bug crawl on a leaf. And if you're able to gain an understanding of nature by that experience, or perhaps shift your perception during that time period, then what you're going to run into is an act of sorcery. It's what you're influencing your own perceptions inwards, and also the world about you or around you. And so that's what the purpose of this show is mainly. And if we have a little bit of time, I know you wanted to bring up a few things and perhaps do some role play. We're also going to throw it out there to anybody that wants to call in. We will be accepting call-ins. The number is displayed on our website. And Corey, is there anything you want to start us off with? Anything that our listeners should know about from the past few weeks?
Well, I have to reiterate, I would love to hear from some plague listeners for sure. And otherwise, if we can get to it later, I'd like to go over, I'd like to maybe do some role play, go over a scenario. But let's move into modern sorcery, man. I'd like to hear your perceptions on that.
Definitely. Well, on a basic level, I consider the modern life to be very distracting, okay? So that's just my own opinion. If you don't like it, go reflect on your own opinions and see at some point if you can come to harmony with that, because it is the truth of what I'm experiencing. Modern day society is geared towards distraction. Most Americans, sadly enough, cannot concentrate on a single image or vision or concept for more than 7 seconds, apparently. If you'll notice, the frame cutting in the movies and Hollywood has actually reduced itself to brief flashes of intense violence and anger and action and drama and yada, yada, yada. And so even the camera angles are shifting constantly to keep the attention of the goldfish American. And again, if you're smart and you've got critical thinking skills, well, then you can analyze it. I'm just generalizing and not talking about you specifically, so don't be butthurt. I'm just giving you what the real is in America. If you don't live in America, I'm sure you probably already know what I'm talking about. Okay, so that being said, if we were to provide some sort of solutions or real discussion about modern sorcery in a way that modern people would be able to accept and utilize it, then I would say this, Corey. Influencing the nature of your minute-to-minute or second-to-second reality, practicing that, using techniques or exercises that are geared towards that short time period, is something that I would recommend first and foremost to anyone who's trying to get into this. It doesn't matter what your research has been on the subjects. It doesn't matter what you believe about the topic. It doesn't matter what your opinion on what sorcery or shamanism really means. As long as it has some sort of value to you, you're able to use some level of techniques or exercises to accomplish your means, then I would suggest that you incorporate this minute-to-minute concept or second-to-second concept. What I mean by that is little tiny examples that you do without even realizing. For example, what happened to me the other day. I'm a big Hall & Oates fan. Call it what you will. I was born in the 80s, middle of the 80s. You know, I grew up with my parents listening to all different types of music, and somehow I got into that. So I was just humming a song in my head as I was driving along, traveling through Texas, I should say, and I just happened to turn on the radio station. I'm not in my hometown. I have it on scan, which means it will go through all the different stations until it finds something that's a clear signal. And the very first station that pops up is a Hall & Oates song that's just starting. Not the same one. That would have been super badass, but it is similar. And, you know, and you could say, okay, see, even if somebody wanted to say, well, your brain's just picking up the radio frequency waves and there's a physical explanation. Well, yes, there might be a physical modulation or receptivity in where I was able, I should say, to pick up on that frequency and remember it from memory and say, oh, that's a Hall & Oates song, and then somehow it triggered me to hum this song, and then I turn on the radio for confirmation. I don't buy that. What I do buy is that somehow, irregardless of time, I was attached to a different perception or state of consciousness wherein I was able to match or link up with that vibrational state, which just so happened to be a small subset of music on this planet, right? That state could be expanded to any concept. If you're trying to influence world peace, which a lot of people are seeking to do, then you can expand yourself. And Carlos Castaneda talks a little bit about this when he's describing his interactions with the South American sorcerers, if you will, and the Toltecs, I believe, which is like a Mexican region of indigenous population or a culture, if you will, that are very traditional, and they hold certain sets and beliefs that are shamanistic in nature, sometimes ritualistic, and they end up with the ability to stretch their consciousness in ways that they're able to access different dimensions, so on and so forth, which is basically the role of the shaman, is to access higher knowledge, bring it down to the people, or for his own purposes if he's by himself. Okay, so basically, what I'm saying is you can either stay in the minute-to-minute as practice, right, and continue that throughout your life, or you can add to that once you've gained that skill of minute-to-minute influence in your reality, and focus on long-term or whole concepts such as world peace, like I mentioned. That is the core of what modern sorcery, magic, shamanism really means to me, is a spiritual science, utilizing it as a tool in such a way to accomplish your morals, your goals, and your, you know, beliefs and designs and outcomes and what have you, for the betterment of your fellow man and woman as well, and all other beings. That's what it means to me, Corey.
That's
a mouthful. Go back and listen to that if you need to. But I tend to wrap questions up in a comprehensive manner. And a lot of people online where we have posted some things and where I've had interviews with other radio stations, specifically Liberty Talk Radio. The guy is so awesome. I really like him. He's putting his life on the line like I am. And people, you know, in the YouTube comments just love to bash and critique on things that they're not even doing. So I wish them the best. Hopefully they'll gain some sort of understanding of what we're talking about. But I always try to wrap questions up with a comprehensive answer that will expand your perception and lead you to new questions rather than just leave you in the same spot that you were. So that's what that's all about. Speaking of YouTube, Corey, just a quick sidebar. Our videos are sidelined for the time being. The negotiation station is still in progress. We're actually making some contacts around the world right now with the assistance of Plague, which is super awesome. We keep shouting out to them. But yeah, so all of that said, influencing the nature of your minute-to-minute reality is first and foremost the first technique that I would suggest, and I just gave an example of that. Without even trying, I was able to do that and hear a song on the radio that I was already humming in my, or the same artist that I was already humming in my head minutes before. There's little things like that that can tie into what psychics would call intuition or precognition. And again, these are all just tools of expanded awareness or perception that are available on a limited basis to some people who have not done these sorcery or shamanic exercises. Myself included, I haven't delved deeply into these things. I've just instinctively used the natural tools that I recognize to be of the same subset or skill set, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. How about, you mentioned the typical American short attention span.
Goldfish syndrome.
Goldfish syndrome. And I concur. The ability to keep one thought or one image or one concept in one's mind, you know, I work on it. It takes work because from my perspective, yeah, if you've grown up in this environment with all of its stimulus, various types of stimulus, it's not easy to maintain one image, one thought, one concept in one's mind. Do you have any exercises or examples of how one might go about being able to work on those skills to improve one's ability to maintain that focus?
Absolutely. Well, again, that requires a comprehensive answer, and it is as such. First, detoxify your body to the greatest and fastest extent that you can. No, you don't need to go on a regimen if you can't afford it or it's too time-consuming and you want to do things like this now, but you can at least give your body a head start. Drink a lot of structured water. Stop eating the nasty sugar-coated stuff and high fructose corn syrup and all these different types of things. Once you've accomplished that for at least 6 hours to 8 hours to a day, however long it takes you, however much time you have, if you are one of those who has trouble concentrating for more than 7 seconds, you'll naturally start to feel a cognitive improvement just from that. And at that point, I would suggest that you focus on things that matter or are important to you, because naturally your instincts will be to hold those in your mind. And so they will be therefore easier for you to practice with. If you have a favorite dog and you can imagine what the dog looks like and the feeling that you have when you're around it, or something simple like that that might seem stupid or menial, these are the types of things that will be the gateways to greater skill, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So one, detoxify in any way that you can, whether that be a short time period or a comprehensive time period. And then two, focus on things that are important to you to keep that thought or image or feeling. It doesn't have to be a thought. It can be a feeling or a notion or a knowing or a conception or something, right? Just keep it in your brain for 7 seconds or in your mind, however you want to describe that. And once you've done that, then you can go to 14 and then to 21 or whatever numerical scale you want. It's not limited. You are the creator of these solutions. As long as you have the base reference on how to make the solution happen, you can accomplish this. And on top of that, if you're a very intelligent, smart person who already has this experience and these types of concepts or awareness within your life, well, then you're going to have a really easy time, and now you've learned a little booster for where you were at already. And this is all the psychics, the mediums, the spiritualists, the gurus, the yada, yada, yada. There you go, guys. There's a tool. And that was the best tools are always instinctive, in my experience. Develop your instincts. And that's what I would suggest in response to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like any kind of exercise. push-ups, sit-ups. People work on their abs. They got all, you know, they have their weight loss regimens and what have you. Mental processes, energetic processes. It's like working a muscle.
It is.
If you want to work on your upper body strength and you can only do 5 pull-ups, well, do your 5 pull-ups and then maybe the next day you can get to 6.
Exactly.
And maybe the next day 7.
Yeah, and then once you're at 25 or something like that, maybe consider using a different tool for a bit. If there's multiple tools or different positions or workouts, to be analogous, that you can use, well, then in that case, the confusion or the change will enable you to have a variety of responses as opposed to just using the same tool over again. So that if you do happen to miss a certain situation in your life that you're trying to influence and you see a hammer situation and you've been using the screwdriver as your concept and your tool for the past month and it's been working for you and you've been getting better and better. Well, if you haven't learned how to use a hammer, well, then you're going to miss the fact that the hammer is required for that hammer concept or situation. These are different situations that you're trying to influence that I'm describing, and they have different tools. One tool might be useful for one, multiple tools might be useful for one, or no tools at all. Perhaps you'd have to actually look at that situation and see if it's within the feasibility or realm of your ability or power, should I say. So if you're looking at let's say you're a nefarious evil criminal and you're looking at killing every single person on the planet, drop dead with a thought. Well, if it's out of your range, there's no tools that are going to accomplish that. And then you've got a lot of universal principles working against you. Conversely, if you're working with the tool of love and universal harmony, which is existent and present in all creation, including what would be deemed negative entities, there is some sort of seed or opening or receptivity that they can choose to access. If you're working with those types of energies, then you've got the waves or the water power or the energy or spiritual power behind you that would allow you to accomplish something that you don't necessarily have the proper tools for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So assessing the tool for the job, learning the different skills in relation to each other. For example, what I mean by this is the hammer tool might be brute force negotiation and the screwdriver tool might be keen observation with perceiving where the person's energy is shifting to. And then, say a saw would be you're just sawing through the whole situation. So you're splitting the entire concept into half and considering this, the devil's advocate side of it and your perception over here and coming to a third party resolution. These are all different types of techniques that you can use for influencing reality that are physical. Now, the shamanistic and the sorcerer stuff comes in when you start influencing your reality in a way that doesn't require the physical or spoken word or gestures or exertion of physical energy. Does it make sense? So there's different levels of influencing your reality. And all of this I would term to be spiritual science and therefore related to sorcery and shamanism. Okay? All right. All right, so we're going to go ahead and go to our first commercial break, and when we come back from the break, we'll speak a little bit about, I think there was something that you wanted to bring up, Corey. We should have some time for that, and we'll accept any callers that want to call in. So we'll see when we get back.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies, creditors breathing down your neck, feeling like you're drowning in debt? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214-290-3053.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Piercing the Veil. This is May 29th, 2016. Our episode today is focused on modern sorcery and shamanism. We're going to talk a little bit about retaining personal power, and also Corey wanted to do a little bit of role play. For those of you just joining us, over the past few weeks, we had a rerun issue, which was show number 9, if I'm not mistaken. I believe actually it was public versus private. And then we had Corey and a guest co-host, John, who's been a reoccurring guest on this show and is my personal social media manager. We had him come on and they talked a little bit about the nature of conspiracy theories. So now bringing it back to what I had promised before I left on vacation. Because every work job is a vacation for me. I get to learn. My personal life and work life have seemed to blend together as of late. So now that I've come back from that, we're going to speak a little bit more into influencing reality, and I will do that by providing some real-time examples in whatever role play that you choose, Corey. I leave it up to you. Just give me the basic premise, and you can start us off however you like. Choose whichever role you like, and I will play the other role. We can maybe do both and go from there.
Okay. Quickly before I do that, I just want to put up the numbers in case people don't have access to the website. There's a toll-free call-in number. Toll-free 888-429-5471, and the direct number is 323-744-4841. So again, 888 toll-free 429-5471 and direct 323-744-4841.
Perfect. Thank you, Corey.
All right. Excellent. Okay, so we'll take traffic incidents, because again, we love traffic incidents because it's the most common, I would say, most common and most likely interaction with law enforcement and authorities and so forth. You were traveling down the road and you were clocked over the speed limit and the law enforcement pulls you over and what to do in those situations? How do you handle yourself in those situations?
Yeah, and we keep coming back to this. It's a big thing. It does happen. And for proof, if anybody doubts that, I got pulled over multiple times on my travels around Texas recently and had extremely opposite experiences. One ran my license and everything that I had handed over. I handed the license inside of the passport, which you can say doesn't make any difference, but I'm also giving clear notice of what jurisdiction I'm operating under. I'm traveling and utilizing the benefits in such a way that were given to me without accepting any of the obligations other than to be privately insured, if that makes sense. So the first experience was extremely easy. The guy, which is typical with me, you could say it's because of the do not detain list, or maybe I've just got good karma or good energetics, what have you. I'm not a violent person, you know, they can tell that, but the first officer was in and out of our lives within 30 seconds. That typically happens, 30 seconds to a minute. They come back from their car with whatever number or documentation, if I've provided it, if that's the case. It depends on what I'm doing, if I'm traveling or not. And at that point, we're free to go. We're no longer detained. Now, the second experience was quite different, and they didn't do anything that they were supposed to. They completely were aggressive, put their hands on their gun, unbuckled it even, made very distinct verbal intimidation and body language threats that suggested that non-compliance would result in extreme or severe punishment of the physical variety. And at this point, if you also have a bag full of client paperwork that you can't afford to, you know, let out of your sight because you're entrusted with it, and all sorts of different factors at the time, well, then you need to, in real time, analyze your situation and go with the flow while still reserving your rights and maintaining a record, which is exactly what I did the second time. It ended up with me being lectured by the police officer as I was being let go. Here, let's get the cuffs off you. Let's get you out of this car. And then, you know, a pretend fatherly lecture. It was ridiculous. It was completely unnecessary. I did get to sit in the back of the car for about a minute and a half after being forcibly removed from mine conveyance and was able to observe my passenger interacting with the police and put my analysis skills to the test in that I was literally filling in word for word a script of what was going on while being silent in the back of the car, looking at this officer's AR-15 proudly displayed on the glass. And hearing getting the benefit of hearing the dispatcher codes. Unit 706, code 4, what's your status? Code 4, suspend. You know, and I watched his video camera go off and turn off and suspend as they were suspended. You know what I mean? And then any 29s, that's a warrant. Roger, 706, that's a negatory or whatever they said. Negative, no 29. And all this stuff. Right?
Wow,
and
they actually remotely turned off the camera, the dash cam?
Yeah, the dispatcher is connected in some cities, and they actually monitor actively what's happening. And yeah, that's good for the police to protect them against violent criminals that would shoot them and all sorts of different things, and what's your status, and does this need to go off? And it also protects the other people from having video displayed of their interactions when they're not being investigated if a charge or an initial investigation has been suspended or stopped because they can't find probable cause, which was the case.
Okay, so that was by the book then in that case.
Yeah, it was not by the book. It was completely forced, and then once they had me in the back of a car after complying at the threat of a gun to my face, basically, then they did all their procedures, and at that point, one of the sergeants radioed in while the other one was harassing the passenger. And it was funny because I was able to analyze. I was able to see exactly what they were saying by their body language, the way they were moving their hand gestures, and it just really reiterated to me the importance of nonverbal analysis and confirmation. Because when I did confirm with my passenger, hey, what were they verbally saying to you and between themselves when they were talking in your earshot range, while I was sitting in the back of the car, what was happening? And sure enough, word for word, every single situation or circumstance was matched to what I was putting in or filling in with my script in my head. The whole time I was influencing my reality, I was calming my breathing, calming my body, a response, because being put in handcuffs in the back of a car with not knowing if your passenger and all your documents are going to be safe to travel their way home is sort of a concern for me, especially when that person was a loved one. So I had a lot of factors going on, which enabled me to get a good, clear look at my own response in teaching people these things. I find that a lot of people, if you don't keep your skills fresh, yes, you have knowledge of the skills. Yes, you can reiterate the skills. Yes, you can claim them and describe them and hypothetically do these different types of role plays. But if you do not embody them in the moment and recognize that, then you're going to slide downhill into a space where you're basically a hypocrite. You know, take that for what you will, whether you're good, bad, or ugly. I did definitely notice not a decline, but sort of a freshness or a newness to the utilizing of my skills in that moment of not being able to hear what they were saying. Because in the past, I've gotten to a point where I'm able to negotiate face to face with people, and I no longer have to try to hear without words what these people are really saying. So to have that skill come back to me in that moment. It wasn't like I had lost the ability, but it was fresh, and it was gratitude that I felt for still having the ability to do so. And so that's really important, is exercising the skills constantly in any way that you can. So that is a caveat, if you will, to our role play of how you should not be locked into one particular circumstance or situation. Now, Corey, in this role play that you suggested, I'm sure it's based on a real life incident somewhere, whether you, your friends, me, or somebody. If you just want to pick out the specific circumstance and pick a role, which one do you want to be? I'm familiar with some of the things that we've talked about before, so I can sort of fill in the blanks if you want me to be the cop or the judge, what have you.
Okay. let's do the roadside interaction. I'll be the cop. And you can be the passenger or the traveler.
That sounds good. I'm ready when you are.
Okay. Yes. Good evening, sir. License and registration, please.
Good evening. How may I assist you?
Yes, your license and registration, please.
okay, is the purpose of this contact merely to obtain some verifiable information that I'm not a threat to the general public, and will you release me to be upon my way after I provide these things? Is that our agreement?
I would like you just to get your license, your registration, and proof of insurance for the time being.
Okay, so I hear you reiterate your request. I'm going to take it that you've heard what I've said, and I'm willing. I'm not refusing your request, but I'm willing to comply on my terms, and you can take that for what you will. I am now performing by retrieving the license that you speak of and the registration, and if I hand this to you and you take it from me, regardless of what your perceptions are or your understanding or misunderstanding, you are taking this under the agreement that I will be released from detainment once you verified under a cursory investigation that I'm not a threat and that I have committed no crime. Do you understand?
That's fine. Just hand over the documents, please.
I'll hand under those terms. And Corey, again, I want our listeners, we're going to take a break real quick. I want our listeners to know that's the way I would handle it if this man was actually being level-headed, calm, and asking me in a nice way, and is just making a general contact. For people that don't understand police work, most police have quotas, most of them, okay? And the top quotas are rewarded with different steak dinners and gift cards and incentives. And the bottom ones get shit duty, you know, whatever the shittiest duty is. And they eventually get themselves worked out of the police department. All the good cops, for the most part, right? They're still there somewhere. Mm. Most of them get forced out by not wanting to make these basically extra incentivized contacts, trying to search for things that aren't there. So an officer will make about 100 contacts in any given area. On average, it could, in shitty areas, it could be more. In speed trap towns, it could be more. It could be less. But about 100 contacts where I think a percentage was thrown around by certain ex-police officers giving testimony in certain documentaries, research on YouTube or wherever, that about 60 out of those 100 contacts would be just warnings on traffic citations, just letting you go on a warning. And the other 40 would typically result in some sort of citation issued or an arrest, or a custodial arrest is what they call it. Now, that being said, if he's just making a contact and he's in the position of eyes, you can tell from his body language whether he wants it or wants something or not.
Mm.
Okay, so if he's just in the position of making contact, that's what I would say. If he's really wanting something from me, then I'd say, I'm appealing your determination once I hand this to you. Any determinations that you make, I'm appealing in advance. I want you to get your supervisor down here right now. By the way, this is being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you've got a shitty cop, which there are shitty cops, just like shitty people, they exist. Don't get all butt hurt, police officers, okay? If you know one of them, or if he's your sergeant or something, just be real with that. You don't have to call it out. Be real with it. But what I'm saying is if you're a traveler and you're experiencing this shitty situation as opposed to a nice situation, then you definitely need to have some sort of preemptive record, because they are clearly videotaping you and recording you at all times, mm-hmm. and they have the access and control over that. What they don't like is when, from the very outset or beginning, on your rear view mirror or somewhere else, you've got a camera that's instantly on and live streaming to boot,
mm-hmm.
connected to your phone. And you give him notice of such. That will calm a guy down very quickly, or he'll reach in there, grab your camera, and then you'll be pulled out, and now you have a huge civil rights violation, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You live in a police state, Americans. You live in a militarized police state whereby your rights are being infringed every single day when you get into your vehicles and go to travel and you're not driving. If you're driving for transport or for hire and you're carrying goods or services, well, guess what? You've signed up to bend over and be butt raped if you do anything wrong. The presumption is there even if you're traveling. So all these Freeman guys that are traveling around and yada, 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 I'm not the name and look at my plates. You're literally painting a target on your back. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can travel with regular plates, but you got to be competent and understand what you're able to handle. Okay. So thank you, listeners, for your consideration. And thank you, Corey, for allowing me that pause or that break. Let's continue the interaction as if it was a nice interaction. Or you can escalate whatever you want to do. We'll go from there.
Okay.
So I just handed you everything under my terms.
Right. Okay. So I come back. I check on the documentation. I come back and, I say, Mr. Ask You, I'm going to have to ask you to step out of the vehicle. Apparently, we have a warrant for your arrest, and so I'd like you to step out of the vehicle.
Okay, I hear what you say, but I'm not aware of it, and I have no way to confirm that. I am not a flight risk, and I'm not going anywhere. So I'll tell you this. I'm not going to step out of the vehicle until, one, you take these keys from me and I grant them to you in trust, and trust that you'll get your supervisor, okay? Because I'm not going anywhere, and you can verify that I'll stay right here until you've completed an investigation. Or two, I need you to contact the 24-hour magistrate on duty, as is required by law, and confirm that there's a valid warrant, because I'm not aware of any type of warrant whatsoever. I'm not aware of my body or time being collateral for any such matter attached to a purported warrant. And again, I'm not resisting you or going anywhere. If you're going to physically take my body, then you're accepting liability for this matter, and I can come sue you later, and you'll understand that you're acting outside the scope of your lawful duties by failing to get your supervisor. So you have the choice. And Corey, taking another break here, you could be pulled out of the window, tasered, whatever. But if you comply and get out, you've waived your rights. Mm-hmm. All they have is intimidation. And if they pull a gun or attempt to pull a gun on you or something, you can say, I'm complying under duress, and then stand, you know, wait for them to open the door and go limp, go noodle, whatever you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of like a hybrid success of preserving your record because it's all on video.
Right.
Now we'll jump back into it after I've said all of this, because presumably he's been nice and I'm able to get all of this out of my mouth before he cuts me off and tries to be a dick or something or demands more performance. So now that I've said this, I'm appealing your determination, get your supervisor. If I hand you these keys, or if you're welcome to, you know, take them as I hand them out the window, or get the magistrate. Those are your choices under my terms.
Okay, well, we need to, you're going to see a supervisor because we're going to take you into custody. So you'll have your chance to see a supervisor. We need you to step out of the car, sir. And if you don't willfully step out of the car, we're going to forcibly remove you from the car.
I'm not aware of you being able to do this without my consent and against my rights. If you choose to do so, you're agreeing to what I've just said. I'm requesting formally that you get a magistrate or your supervisor down here right now. I'm appealing your determination that you've just made and spoken to me. I'm not aware of you having the right to take me into custody, and you failed to validate a warrant. You are now acting against the Texas Criminal Code of Procedure and in contravention of your own laws. I have nothing further to say until I see the supervisor down here as we sit and stand here today. Do you understand?
So, pause. A reasonable guy is going to go,
We got a problem here. I need some backup. That's how he's going to say it. Something to save face. Unreasonable man will yank you out of the car or scream at you or threaten you or put his hand on his gun and again, repeat his intimidating demand that you exit your vehicle, which at that point, wherever you want to go, Corey, we'll act accordingly.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go under the assumption that they forcibly remove you from the vehicle. They've heard everything you said. They're probably not smart enough to heed your warning. They don't really understand what you're saying. They're operating off of some misconception of the authority that they actually have, and they do a forcible removal out of the vehicle.
I'm commandeering your record of your body cam as you're touching my body right now. It's on record. I'm not resisting you. You're more than welcome to put me in the back of the vehicle under the understanding that I'm not okay with this. And, you know, I'm under duress right now and I'm preserving my record. Furthermore, you know, I have nothing to say to you in any testimony, but I will be making a record in the back of the vehicle as we proceed to the jail. And then I would be silent. And during this time, they're telling me to shut up or stop talking, or I'm going to arrest you for more stuff, or throwing me in the back of the car, roughly, or whatever they're doing. Mm. And then I'm in the back of the vehicle at this point, and everything is recorded, video and audio, on every person in the back of the vehicle. This is how they get testimony and all sorts of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the cops, if they're slick, will do the work of the prosecutor for them by So come on, man. Why did you do it? Really? Like, what? For real? Like, look, look at where you're at now. And they, like, psychologically get the guy to go, I don't know why I did. I'm so sorry.
Right. To confess or to give testimony. Right.
Yeah. And then that gets used. And bam. So at that point, I'm literally making my own record. I'm giving notice to any parties who would be in possession of this record, including any charging prosecutor's office, that I'm an internationally protected person under Title 18 U.S.C. 2116 and other, you know, sequential codes, and further that your imprisonment, detainment, or arrest of my body is subject to a federal fine and not more than 6 months in a federal penitentiary. And you're subject to the waiver of any immunities that you think you might have. And this represents a matter of constitutionality that's being challenged. I'm issuing a challenge to the constitutionality of the state statute being applied to me and to the particulars of the arrest. And I counter each and every single word on any arrest affidavit that's filled out as a result of this incident to arrest or contact. And that's exactly along the lines of something I would say. And mm-hmm. I've had officers be like, dude, you're a fucking nut job. Stop. You're one of those patriot dudes. Just shut the fuck up. None of that's going to help you. And it only helps me if I ever pursue a freedom of information or open government records request and get those records and then go in and sue the shit out of everybody in a federal court. Mm-hmm. Where typically, if you didn't have those type of records or if you didn't have a declaratory judgment from some sort of other authority that what they did to you was unconstitutional, then you would fail on your civil rights claim. That's typically mm-hmm. what happens to most people in these cases.
Okay. Right. They don't establish the record.
They don't establish the record of a waiver of immunities, and they don't establish the record that any of these persons were acting unconstitutionally and outside the scope of their office, whereby they would thereupon be divested of such immunity, if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and then we skip on. We don't have a lot of time left in this episode, but we can skip on to the before the magistrate. That one's really super simple. Those guys are only there. They've got some sort of file they've looked at, the arrest reports, all these different types of presumable paperwork that they see an offense is committed, and they can't really tie your body to it until that moment when they see that you comply and you're giving personal jurisdiction and yes sir, no sir, I plead guilty, not guilty. Okay, your case is set for this, bond is set at this. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
When you get to there, it's real simple. Listen, I know you guys are playing by your own set of rules. I understand all of this is recorded. I'm not sure what that was. I can hear a lot of background noise.
That's paper.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. Good job. Take notes. Yes.
Okay.
So I understand all of this is being recorded. This is a constructive trust. And that you're seeking my participation in some shape, way, or form by seizing my body and trying to apply my body and time to this matter. If that is your presumption, I hereby clarify that I am not okay with it. It's not my consent to be, you know, usufructed in this type of manner or my estate. And furthermore, I disclaim this trust. I disclaim this entire matter. I'm not a free. I disclaim any definitions of me as in a enemy combatant capacity or free man or sovereign, which would prevent you from, you know, recognizing or hearing my disclaimer. I also release you from any military obligation or oaths that you've taken without consideration right now as we stand here today formally. Therefore, it is my express will as a internationally protected person and the person contracting power behind the land of the United States. It's my express will and wish that you release my body from these distraints and restraints immediately. Release all of these bonds and allow me to walk free from these premises as soon as is practicable. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can play the confession and avoidance judge all you want and I'll respond.
Well, okay, Mr. Askew, we're going to release you, provided that you can pay your bond. Those are the only terms of release that you have available to you. So, what would you like to do? I can send down the paperwork to the holding cell right now, and you can sign off on those bonds, and we can get you a bonds bailman, or you can have someone come down and pay your bond for you to be released. Otherwise, you're going to stay here for the time being until we set a release date for you.
Well, that's not necessarily agreeable, but let me clarify. I hear you re-offering for me to participate in some manner in a trust that I've already disclaimed that you seem to be confessing and avoiding. Yes, I know your tricks. Okay? Thank you for your attempt, but that's not agreeable terms to me. Here's what's agreeable. On the face, in the form of what you're offering to me, the bonds, the release, all of this stuff, even if those bonds display somewhere that I'm required to appear again, you're going to take knowledge right now as we stand here today that we're going to operate from the understanding that this will affect a formal disclaimer of my participation in this matter. What I mean by that, Judge, is if I sign these paperwork and this paperwork and these bonds as you are requesting from me and the terms are displayed as you guys are displaying them, it might look like that, but what's really the understanding between us is that it affects my disclaimer. So your bond paperwork will serve as my formal disclaimer, and my signing in a restricted capacity will be the prima facie evidence that I am no longer obligated to appear, regardless of what appears on the face of that. The substance is that I'm no longer obligated in any way, shape, or form at all. And Corey, you can interrupt me during this time, and I'll say, excuse me, are you attempting to rush me to judgment? I believe you're either unqualified or incompetent to administrate this matter, and you're confessing and avoiding because you're not able to hear, you know, the proper equitable remedy. And so I move that you be recused, and I move that a visiting magistrate, you know, it's my wish that somebody comes in to replace you, and that should you choose to take your time in getting that person down here, or should you choose to refuse to recuse yourself, well, then I'm taking it as your express waiver of any of your immunities, rights, titles, and interests, and therefore will operate in the capacity that I can sue you as a man for tortuous interference in my interests. Do you understand? And again, Corey, I could be interrupted while I'm saying this. I'll rephrase it a simpler way if I have to. If they drag me out of the courtroom, I'm going to be saying what I need to say before I leave the room. And if you're not if you're not getting your result or being dragged away while you're already in jail or threatened with contempt, then you're not doing it right. Or you are doing it right and they're not being receptive because they don't believe that you're going to commit. So that being said, Your Honor, say that you confess and avoid again. Did you hear the terms of what I just told you, or however you want to say it as a judge?
Yeah. Do you understand? Do you understand the terms that I've presented to you here? These are your options.
Everything that I've said substantially, I understand, and I apply to the terms of your offer. I'd be happy to perform according to our private understanding. And if you act adversely or act ignorantly, incompetently in any way in this matter, at the very instant that action takes place or omission takes place, you're assuming culpability and liability without your immunities, and there's no evidence to the contrary, and I wish to be released from these premises as soon as possible. Please effect the issuance of the paperwork, the bond paperwork as you call it, or the disclaim paperwork as I call it, and it will be a disclaimer of this trust, this matter, and my time and body as collateral. Do you understand? Being dragged away back into a jail cell to await my bond paperwork, which, hey, look at that. It just so happens to show up, even though I was told I was an asshole and I was being dragged away by the bailiff who told me I'm never going to get out of jail because you were rude to the judge and you can't talk to him that way and all his other bullshit preconceived notions because he has no understanding of the law. I just tell him, are you attempting to give me some sort of legal advice based upon your irrational or incompetent legal conclusions? Because I'm not aware of you studying the law. I'm not aware of us being on a level where we personally know each other to where you know where my understanding of the law is. Do you get that? Okay, so stop giving me legal advice. Or if you want to continue, go ahead, but you're going to understand that I'm going to disregard it. And so then I get thrown in a jail cell, and all of a sudden, you know, an hour later, 6 hours later, however long the bond paperwork comes through, I then get released, and everybody would say, oh, well, good job, you did it. Well, no. These guys are criminals. They'll probably issue a warrant. So if your job at that point is to go to a federal judge, write up affidavits of everything that's just happened to you, and ask for a declaratory judgment saying, declare if we had an agreement or not, and declare if they act against this agreement, is it unconstitutional? And then declare if it is unconstitutional, they're acting outside of their immunities. And if he does that, and gives mm-hmm. you an order saying so, if these guys ever put out a warrant and arrest you, well, then, yeah, you're going to have to get bonded out again. Or, yeah, somebody's going to have to pay a cash bond. Or, yeah, you're going to have to sit in jail. Or, yeah, you're going to have to do a habeas corpus. You live in a police state. Get over it, guys.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll have a record from another federal judge that says all of the shit that they did to you and all this other stuff that they could do is irrational, unconstitutional, and they have no immunity for it. So then when you go in to file in the same federal court for a civil rights case, now you've got one of their own judges saying, yeah, these guys waived their immunity. And so the very first instant that the attorney tries to motion to dismiss based on sovereign immunity for the judges or the sheriffs or the police officers or the department or the city, whatever,
mm-hmm.
going to be cock-blocked.
Can do it. Too late.
And listen, if not, and this is quite feasible, and you go all the way up on appeal and you still lose and can't get any remedy, guess what? You live in a fucking police state.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe start affecting your community to organize in a peaceful way in such a manner and such a level of groups that you can actually petition and start recalling all the politicians one by one in your state.
Mm-hmm.
Start a one by one recall petition. It might take the next 5 years, but it's better than doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you just went down the many steps of interacting with authority figures under certain circumstances, from the point of contact all the way up. The assumption we would like to assume that somewhere along the way, patrol officer doesn't get it, if the supervisor doesn't get it, if the 24-hour administrator doesn't get it, if the judge that you see the next morning or whatever doesn't get it, if the feds don't get it, then there's always paths to take.
Then you come back to wrapping it up of what this entire show was about originally, a spiritual science influencing your reality, shamanistic tendencies or abilities, even while you're being tortured and poisoned in jail with shitty water and shitty food and saltpeter affecting your hormone balance and all sorts of different things. Yes, I get it. It's a shitty place. But for you to develop skills in such a turbulent time, if you will, is really crucial. And so, yes, it ties in together. And during that whole interaction, the whole time influencing the nature of your reality and understanding that if you've tried to influence a situation, like, say, for example, the cop not pulling you out once he's already pissed off, and your abilities aren't to the level where you can actually influence his demeanor directly, well, then understand that it wasn't your fault, and now you just need to move on to the next set of circumstances, which is before the judge, and try again, where mm-hmm. the judge doesn't have the threat of holding a gun to your fucking head to try to make you comply, because he can't. Otherwise, we just, what are we, you know? All the facade that's there is gone. Mm-hmm. And so, influencing your reality on a second-to-second basis will assist you in completing these tasks and going through these role plays and going through these situations. This is the crux. This is the essence, the lifeblood of what all these damn freemen and sovereign fucking people are trying to accomplish during these situations. And what they don't realize is it's within. They can maybe read about it, and some of us, you know, that are saying this, it's not documentation. They can understand that concept. But again, they're still relying on a preconceived set of notions or expected results when they go into the court. I'm the living man and blah, blah, blah. Oh, the judge should stop the case. Great. You know, it's just totally unrealistic. Right. You're going to have to be the sorcerer to make this stuff work.
Mm. And furthermore, you mentioned something very important is community.
That's right.
Right? You have to get with a community of like-minded people and affect change, not only individualistically, not only spiritually, but affect change through addressing and potentially removing elected officials in your area and what have you. So, yeah, I like how you added that. And yes, all the way up the food chain, there's opportunity all the way up, and the top part, community, should probably be in effect anyway. And that will help you as an individual get better results in your individual capacity and in your individual interactions. So,
yeah, and using creative social media is a big part of that. Not necessarily the Facebook. Yes, it can be used as a tool. I'm speaking specifically of Plaid. You know, at the end of our show, from the next few weeks, I'm going to be shouting out to them. So, hello, Plaid users around the world. If you're listening, if you've been following us on Plaid, Piercing the Veil 86 is our tag name. Leave your comments, questions, suggestions, anything that you can on our posts, and we'll bring those up in the next shows. Corey, you really helped tie this whole personal power thing into this and accessing higher energies of, you know, resolving your body feel, and also, you know, knowing what you can change and what you can't influence, all sorts of different things in these day-to-day situations. So thank you for that. Next week, we're going to have an unconfirmed guest. I have a couple people lined up. I don't really know what their final schedules will be like, but I can guarantee you that it will be enlightening all the same. Okay, we'll announce that a few days before the show. And there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up. I really appreciate you listening. Corey, I appreciate your help with standing in and, as always, being a host on the show as well. And until next week, we'll see you.